This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. Scott Simon is away. I'm Jackie Lydon. There have been a lot of films about Napoleon, but the most famous one of all is also the hardest to see. Filmmaker Abel Gance's Napoleon debuted 85 years ago, a silent epic about the childhood and early career of the French leader. The original was thought to be lost or destroyed until a restored version was finally screened in the early 1980s. Now, the San Francisco Silent Film Festival is bringing the complete restoration to the U.S. for the first time next week. Pat Dowell reports.
It's no wonder that Napoleon is seldom shown. It's 5.5 hours long, plus 3 intermissions, and it has a finale that requires 3 synchronized projectors, not to mention a 48-piece orchestra. The film is epic, not only in length, but also in imagination and ambition. Filmmaker Abel Gance used handheld cameras long before they were commonplace. He had engineers devise camera mounts for horses and sleds. He anticipated widescreen films and projected multiple images on the screen simultaneously. He even experimented with 3D. All of this excited a lifelong passion when teenaged film collector Kevin Brownlow bought a few fragments of Napoleon in the 1950s.
The film has more innovative moments in it than any other film I can think of, including Citizen Kane, which is rightly claimed as the greatest film ever made. I think this one tops it and should be acclaimed as the greatest film ever made, except not enough people have seen it.
So Brownlow set out to let more people see Napoleon by restoring it. Along the way, he got to know Abel Gance.
He had the face of a medieval saint with his hair swept back and an aquiline nose. And meeting him, each time you felt you were going to see Victor Hugo. In fact, people who worked with him would refer to him either as Napoleon or Victor Hugo, completely accidentally.
Brownlow interviewed Gance for a series on European silent film.
Et un troisième qui prend ce champ-là, j'aurai un énorme panorama.
The director recalled devising Napoleon's triptych finale, in which 3 projectors sometimes featured different images side by side, or one gigantic panorama. He did it, he said, because he felt a lack of space on the screen. The images were too small.
Je sentais dans certaines scènes que je manquais d'espace.
For the giant finale, the image opens to 3 times its normal width. Gance called it polyvision. That's just one of the reasons that Napoleon failed commercially. It could not be shown in conventional theaters in 1927, or now, for that matter. Patrick Stanbury, Kevin Brownlow's business partner, is handling the technical demands of the upcoming Napoleon showing. Having been an accountant, he says, gives him a unique perspective on resurrecting this era in all its glory.
I'm the one who knows how expensive silent films are.
Stanbury says they're building 3 synchronized projection booths with 3 projectors and putting up a new winged screen that's bigger even than the one in the restored movie palace where Napoleon is being shown. It will be an event that's probably too expensive to repeat, he says with a sigh.
Well north of $500,000. Silent film performances never make money. They always rely to some extent on sponsorship and goodwill. You may cover your costs, but you don't expect to earn a fortune from this sort of thing.
The profits may be small, but everything else about Napoleon is big, including the musical score. Literally, says Kevin Brownlow, recalling one performance with a live orchestra.
They turned the page and the music stands collapsed.
The score for the restored Napoleon combines new music with themes from Napoleon's contemporaries, such as Beethoven, whose Eroica symphony was first dedicated to Napoleon. Then, famously, the composer scratched out the dedication when Napoleon turned from liberator to dictator. Carl Davis, who composed the restoration score and will conduct it, says Gance's young Napoleon is still the liberator.
I thought it would be valid to use Beethoven because he wrote it with the dedication in mind still and not crossed out. But there's another reason as well, which is that the chief dynamic and appeal of Napoleon was very strong, very heroic, very direct. you could say, what are some of the outstanding characteristics of Beethoven's music? It's very strong, very direct.
The current score has never been heard with the film in the U.S. when a shorter version of Napoleon debuted here in 1981. It had a score by Carmine Coppola. He's the father of Francis Ford Coppola, who owns the U.S. theatrical rights to Napoleon with preservationist Robert Harris. The premiere at Radio City Music Hall is now legendary. On the second night, someone backstage decided to phone 91-year-old Abel Gance in Paris. The late publicist, René First, recalled the moment for NPR in 1981.
We held up the phone for him to hear the applause, and the audience realized who was at the other end of the telephone. And there was just this screaming ovation.
Gance died later that year. Throughout his life, the filmmaker was always tinkering with Napoleon, cutting and re-editing, even adding sound footage in the 1930s and again in the 1970s. That's made the restoration of this celebrated silent epic even more difficult. But Kevin Brownlow persists, and he may end up spending more time with Napoleon than Abel Gance did.
There are times when I think I made it myself.
And in a way, he has. For NPR News, this is Pat Dowell.